The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, Aviana Berrientos. I've got Von Eaglin in studio and Kip Watson. Did you like the way I say Aviana Berrientos?
That was good. That was very good.
Very good.
I didn't say it that good the second time, but you know.
You sound like you know Spanish over there.
Yeah, I wish. I wish. I used to speak fluent German. Does that count?
Yeah.
And read and write it. So I actually had a German pen pal, a girl. And this was back when I was a really young girl because I was a teenager because it was back when the wall was still up.
Wow. No, I'm not calling you old, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm not old, but I just started young.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. I'm going to steal that next time.
There you go. You can use it. Go ahead.
I appreciate
Help
that.
Yourself.
So, I just started young.
So the pen pal thing is kind of a lost art.
I know.
It is.
It's a great way to learn a second language, though, I have to tell you, to learn to read and write it.
Because then
she would write me in German, and I would have to, you know. And this was in high school because my boyfriend was German, his mother, mm-hmm. and so she would help me to learn German as well. And I learned how to sprechen Deutsch quite well.
Well, back in the day, God, this is so going to date me. This is probably mid-70s.
Okay.
And the magazine International Gymnast, in the back of the section, they had this place where you could put your name and address, and you could have pen pals
from all over the world.
I had gymnastic pen pals all over the world, all over the country.
Wow.
And we would write snail mail, right? Write handwritten letters. We would trade team pins. Like, that was the big thing, is you trade your team pin.
That's pretty cool.
I still have these pens.
Wow.
The pens, you know, in my collection at home. But I was like, man, that would never happen now.
Yeah, well, no, it wouldn't. It's gone. Those days are gone.
Yeah, penmanship is a lost art. In fact, a lot of these schools aren't even teaching cursive writing anymore. And that's like disappointing
to
me.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so, too.
They are at my daughter's school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important. And, you know, my oldest daughter actually takes all of her notes at OU. She writes them down instead of putting in her laptop.
Yeah.
And she said that she thinks that it helps her retain the knowledge so much better.
It does, because you know there are different ways to learn. So you have, like, you know, kinesthetic learning, or, you know, like reading and writing, auditory, you know, visual learning, and it combines a lot of things together. You know, if I'm reading and I'm writing and I'm also looking at it, you know, it just combines all these different learning things together. And so it's just a way to make it stick in the brain. So
yeah,
right.
What were you gonna say?
Well, no, I think that's right.
Yeah,
I think I always encourage, no matter how you learn, you will absorb it better if you actually write things out. Mm-hmm. But then I know people that are wired like me mentally, I gotta write.
Well, I can't wait to talk about what we're going to talk about with you today. When you said gymnast a minute ago, we have a great show lined up. We're going to go to Matt Bruce here.
Deeply passionate.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, me too. And I had all kinds. We'll talk about it. But I've had a lot of thoughts going through my head since I realized this is what we were going to talk about yesterday. We're going to be talking about with Kip the price of silence, identifying toxic coaching, and how to keep kids safe.
Yes.
And of course, that leads it all into all of the Me Too stuff. And, you know,
it's
just like women have just, anyway, I won't get
it
started
does,
on
but,
that.
But we're going to talk about what to notice. But then really, this is about, how do you look for, there's tons of healthy places out there that are training our kids, but so
the whole
what
world's
to look
not
for.
Creepy. There's more
but,
than
but
Harry
what
and
you
Larry's
should
out
pay
there.
Attention to.
Harry and Larry.
Yeah. They are not Not everybody's a Larry.
You're right.
Or Harry.
Right.
Yes.
Not everybody's a predator.
Right.
You know, but we do need to be
But
conscious.
What to look
well,
for.
Oh, yeah.
Some red flags to look for. And then what to also educate just yourself about in teaching your children.
Well, and what a great segue to what Vaughn's going to talk about, building trust within couples' relationships. And I just think building trust in general is always a really healthy thing to do for a human being, because you can't walk around distrusting everyone. You'll have a miserable life if you do. And speaking of miserable lives, okay, a lot of animals out there have miserable lives. Oh, yeah. And we've got Matt Bruce on the line. He is a campaign specialist for the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA, a highly controversial, you know, organization. But they have been the watchdogs worldwide for many, many years. I respect them tremendously. Matt Bruce organizes, leads provocative demonstrations worldwide with a focus on speaking out against the slaughter of animals for food and the abuse of animals for entertainment, both in circuses and at marine parks such as SeaWorld. His demonstrations have landed high-profile volunteers, including reality TV starlet Courtney Stodden and Fallout Boy's Andy Hurley, and he even bailed Emmy Award-winning actor James Cromwell out of jail when he was arrested for protesting cruel experiments on cats. Bruce has been featured on television programs and in newspapers across the country, including C-SPAN, CNN, National Public Radio, Access Hollywood, and many others. Such a pleasure to have you with us this morning, Matt. Welcome.
Yes, thank you for such a great introduction.
Well, we are great
to be here with you guys.
Well, you're a great man, and we brought you in today because we want to talk about all this Februdary stuff. So what is the best way to explain Februdary? How did it start, and what's the best way to protest?
Well, we really want people to understand the cruelty that goes on behind the scenes at dairy farms. What we know is that cows are intelligent, sensitive animals who feel pain and fear just like we do, and just like the dogs and cats that we share our homes with. But in the dairy industry, they're forcibly, artificially inseminated repeatedly throughout their lives to the point where they're kept nearly constantly pregnant. And in order for us to get their milk, farmers have to take their babies away from them, and then those babies are sold as veal calves. And, you know, the best way to stop this kind of abuse and not partake in any of this really awful, eliminate ourselves from the nightmare that we're inflicting on animals is to simply not purchase dairy products and not consume them.
Well, how did this whole Februdary thing start? Didn't it start when you guys launched the January vegan? Yeah.
Or Veganuary.
Veganuary, yeah. That's it. Okay.
You know, we have a lot of like animal rights holidays throughout the year because it's really important to keep animal rights as a topic of conversation nationally. It's too easy for people to go out and get a burger from McDonald's or some fast food restaurant without considering the impact that we're having on these animals. So as much as we can throw it into the mainstream and get people talking about it, the better for the animals who are suffering on these awful farms.
Well, I've seen the videos, and they're nightmarish. I can't believe that there are human beings that treat animals so horrifically, just horrific behavior, horrific just injury and just trauma induced on these animals. It's very hard to watch. It's very hard to talk about. I know that Twitter is roasting the dairy industry over its what they call its lame Februdary campaign, and Big Dairy's February campaign backfires, resulting in a pro-vegan message, right?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. There's been a major shift, and a lot of people are starting to realize what's happening at these farms, and they're seeing that they can live healthy, wonderful, happier lives without consuming animal products.
Well, I think that the whole topic is in our front of our face because it's something that's been coming for a very long time. They have been covering up the abuse in the farming industry for far too many years, and people are starting to notice. People are starting to get active, proactive about doing something about it instead of just putting up with it, right?
Absolutely. There was actually recently an eyewitness investigation of Daisy Farms in Texas, who produces, they're the maker of, America's favorite sour cream, and they make cottage cheese as well.
Right.
And when we see these companies who are producing dairy products on a commercial level, the abuse is rampant because they're trying to make money and they're cutting corners when it comes to animal welfare. And what we found in this investigation, it showed that calves were being pulled from their mother's birth canals with chains.
Mm-hmm.
They were taken away from them just hours after birth. Workers burn away the calves' sensitive horn tissue with a caustic paste that would often get into their eyes, and they would do this without painkillers. And we even saw workers force-feeding the calves' milk so carelessly that these calves aspirated fluid and drowned.
Oh, my gosh.
Workers, they punched, jabbed, kicked, and twisted the tails of cows, even those in labor. And dead cows and calves were stored in a freezer and later incinerated.
Wow.
There's really no respect for these animals, and the laws that protect dogs and cats don't extend to the animals who are used in animal agriculture, and it's very, very sad, and it needs to change.
It is sad, but you know what the scariest part is, Matt? And then we've got to go to break. I'm so thankful for you jumping on to discuss this with us this morning. The thing that bothers me, and I think about this all the time, is these thousands and thousands of workers that work in these industrial farms that are subjected to treating animals badly all day long. They kill, they murder, they beat, you know, they treat them badly. And the big industrial, we're not talking about small farms, you know, that we've actually had a couple here on the show. I think of Bodark,
it's
a meat
Tom
company.
Locke. Yeah.
Tom Locke, you know, great guy, great farmer. We're calling out big industries here, but to get back to my original point, and then we have to go to break. But, you know, these workers that subject these animals to abuse walk around in our world and they are disturbed. There's no way that you can do that job and remain normal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, we found that there are actually heightened cases of domestic violence in areas surrounding slaughterhouses because these people are forced to deal with problems, solving problems by using violence.
Mm-hmm.
But they're victims themselves because these corporate farms go on to hire the most vulnerable people who need a job, and they put them into these positions, and they take advantage of their workers as well. So we find that it's also one of the most dangerous jobs in the country is to work in a slaughterhouse because if the people on the line, if the bosses want higher production, then these people are slicing the throats of these animals or using deadly tools, and they're often cutting off their own fingers or even beheadings are beheadings are commonplace in that industry.
Wow.
And so you put workers in that situation, it does mess with their mind.
Yeah.
And you know, this is such a far-reaching issue, much more than just the hell that these animals go through.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Matt Bruce. Such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Yeah, have a good day.
You too. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got a great show coming up. I promise we won't scare you anymore. We're going to be talking about some positive stuff. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the county line. The joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down.
Woo! I love this song. You guys will laugh. So I asked Diamond to play just a bunch of Brooks and Dunn and a bunch of country music because I spent like an hour and a half. I lost track of time. At least an hour and a half dancing, two-stepping in my kitchen last night to Brooks and Dunn. I was all over the place and it felt so good.
It is definitely good for that.
Oh my gosh.
I want to go dancing.
I know. You know what? Why don't we all go like two-stepping sometime? Would that be like a blast?
That would be awesome. So fun.
I haven't gone in years. I dated this guy several years ago and he used to dance, but that's like the only thing he did good. So. He was creepy. He was just creepy.
But he was a good dancer, though.
Well, he liked to dance, so that was a good place to start.
Liking to dance and being a good dancer, two different things.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, exactly. But, you know, getting up and dancing is such good exercise. It really is. I can't even tell you how good it felt to just move my body for an hour and a half and seamlessly just go off into a different world. I didn't even feel like I was on Earth. And it's so good for you. And then singing and dancing, it makes your heart so light. It really does.
Oh, yeah, it's like freedom. So.
It is freedom. Well, and your wife's a dancer, right?
Oh, yeah. She danced for Dallas Black Dance Theater for like 10 years. One of the principal dancers ended up being the rehearsal director and different things like that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, a lot of choreography, a lot of traveling. She danced at the Olympics when they were in London, different things like that.
So, wow.
I mean, she's been all over the place doing all kinds of stuff.
Wow, so she's doing it well.
Oh, she's big time. You know, I actually joined her dance company to get close to her in college. True story. I ended up with the woman, but hey, that's whatever it took, you know. So yeah.
Well, a dancer, as you know, even just from dancing, you can keep yourself in really good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You really can. You really, really can. So, you know, speaking of good shape, that goes for your mind, too. I've got Von Eaglin and Kip Watson in studio. Let me read you their bios if you've never listened to One Life Radio before or have never heard Kip or Von on the show. But Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and sports psychology professional with 2 master's degrees and nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach and a former professional athlete. And Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with 2 group practices in the Dallas area. He is a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He is also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships, men and groups. You can find all of our guest experts at oneliferadio.com, and you can also find Von at WeFixBrains.com, and you can find Kip on Twitter at KipFit. Okay, we're talking about building trust within couple relationships. So, my goodness, this is a big subject. We might have to continue on with this and just fold it all together with Kip. So why is trust important with couple relationships?
That's a great question. And the truth of the matter is that trust is the foundational component of any relationship. I like to call it, within a couple relationships, I like to call it the emotional fabric that keeps the relationship together. And trust is not just important in couple relationships, but just in every relationship, whether it's in business, whether it's a parent-child relationship, or it's a coworker, or just friendship. Trust is extremely important.
It's everything.
It is. It is.
It's absolutely everything.
It is. And it comes in many different forms. So like if within trust, for instance, within a couple relationship, I need to trust that you won't cheat on me. I need to trust that you're going to be a good financial steward. I need to trust that you're going to be a good parent. I need to trust that you're going to be there for me sexually whenever I'm, you know,
What are you saying?
Needed. Yeah, yeah. You know, but there.
You're not talking about demanding sex.
Sex. You know, because even when I work with my couples, it's really important that we teach them how to initiate and refuse sex in a respectful way. Because a lot of times, you know, whenever I refuse sex, you're going to walk away feeling rejected. So.
Yeah. Well, you can't take stuff like that personal.
Right.
You really can't.
Right. But see, but here's, I need to be able to trust you. And whenever you cannot trust your partner, there's something in the back of your mind that says, you know what? I can't quite depend on you. I need to be able to depend on my partner whenever I'm in need or I have a desire or I have a want, I have a wish, something like that. And so trust comes in many different forms in a relationship. And it's very, very possible to trust your partner in one area. Like, I trust you're going to be a good financial steward. You're going to go home, bring home the bacon.
Right.
But I don't trust that you won't cheat on me. Though.
Right.
I don't trust that you're going to be there for me when the chips are down. I don't trust that you're going to be there for me when I'm sick. I don't trust, you know, so it's very possible to trust your partner in one area and not trust them in another area.
That's a great point. It really is. Do you want to add anything to this, Kip?
No. You guys are doing a good job. Trust is the foundation for
it
sure.
It absolutely is. Okay, so what's the difference between trust in a healthy relationship versus an unhealthy couple relationship?
So, well, people in unhealthy relationships, they have partners that, like I said before, they can't depend on. And over time, there's a sequence of emotional injuries. And as those emotional injuries get sustained over time, it builds this huge gulf of emotional distance within the relationship. And so there are different instances within relationships that cause you, that are trust incidents, so to speak. So the first one would be what I'll call a sliding door incident. So every day is almost like a peekaboo. Like every time I interact with you, I'm trying to check and see, can I trust you? Because the brain is actually wired to feel safe and secure. Everything we do, when I walked inside the studio and whenever you look at someone, we're always trying to figure out, is it safe? And whenever I walk at home and let's say my wife has been fussing at me for a month. She hasn't. I'm just saying, let's say I have a volatile couple. If I walk in, I'm going to assess my partner to figure out, are they safe and can I trust them? And so you have these little sliding door incidents, these everyday interactions. And then you also have big regrettable incidents within relationships that cause a lot of emotional pain within the relationship. And then there are also conflict incidents where you're trying to figure out, can I trust you within the relationship? Because really healthy couples, a lot of times whenever we have conflict, a healthy couple, they can still be kind towards one another, even though I'm angry with you.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so within, you know, healthy relationships, we've talked about this many times before. Again, that whole emotional bank account, the 5-to-1 positive to negative interaction ratio. So really stable relationships have at least 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative interaction. And so whenever there's an incident where I can't trust you, you're going to be taking some money out of the emotional bank account. And so mm-hmm. we don't need that to happen. And we have to intentionally put money in the bank account as you have interactions within the relationship.
Yeah. Well, you know, how does someone evaluate a person's trustworthiness?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we can talk about your handy dandy trustometer if you want to.
Okay.
You know, so one, you know, I need to figure out, is this person honest? Are they going to, you know, be deceptive? Do they have a double life? Like if I have a couple that comes into my office and let's say there's cheating going on. Well, that person has to develop a double life in order to keep the facade or to be able to maintain, you know, the affair that's going on. So you have to be honest and, you know, you can't be lying to your partner. Second thing is transparency. One, you got to be an open book. You know, you're not supposed to have a lot of secrets. You know, you don't need to remain hidden. You don't need to have a mask. And I need to be able to know that you can be accountable. And so with accountability, you know, you give someone else to have, you know, to give permission to hold you accountable. So whenever I have couples come in my office, one, they need to be honest. There needs to be transparency. There also needs to be accountability. But I'm also going to be evaluating their ethics because how you treat me is going to be how you treat other people. And whenever I see you treat other people, I know that's how you're probably going to treat me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my aunt, go ahead. You might say
well,
something.
Well, no, I was just thinking it goes across the board. So I was thinking of, somebody said this to me the other day, if somebody's cheating on their wife, they're going to cheat on you too.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
basically, it's across the board. If you're a cheater, you're a cheater.
Yeah. So Maya Angelou, I always take, you know, she had a quote. She said, whenever someone shows you their true selves, believe it, you know. And whenever I see you interact with other people, that's a part of your character. That's a part of who you are. And I need to know that because that's a part of your character, that you have the potential to do that to me as well. So, and a lot of times when I have couples and there's a lot of mistrust within a relationship, I'll have one person say, you know, you just need to trust me. Like, just because I make that blanket statement, then mm-hmm. you need to just, you know.
Trust is earned.
Right.
Trust just like respect.
And it takes time to build trust. And, you know, I can have a couple that comes into my office. They've been together for 25 years. And in an instant, all that trust can be shattered. like, let's say they, like, one person finds out that the other person's having an affair. Although I've I've trusted you for 25 years, all of a sudden, all the trust and, you know, that I've, you know, established over this time period is now gone in an instant.
Yeah.
And so, again, it does take a lot of time to build trust, and it comes in many different forms in a relationship. And so you have these criteria for trust, but within relationships, there are also certain hormones that get released whenever we're trusting each other. So vasopressin and then oxytocin are trusting hormones.
What is it?
Vasopressin.
So I've never even heard about that. Yeah, how could I miss that hormone?
It's okay. You know, there's a lot of hormones.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
There's a lot of hormones. And so from a... So from a physiological standpoint, what happens is that whenever I touch my partner, do I feel relaxed? Or whenever my partner touches me, do I go into the state of hypervigilance? Let's say you start holding hands with a stranger on a train. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you going to feel safe? Or I mean, you're going to feel kind of weird right there. So, you know, so whenever you touch your partner, what hormones are actually being released? You know, if you're going into the state of hypervigilance, it's going to be something totally different as opposed to the oxytocin and the vasopressin that's going to make you feel connected to your partner.
Interesting.
So we, you know, there are ways that we can rebuild trust. I hear the music coming on. I think she's trying to usher
We're going to continue to talk about it. I can listen to you all day.
Good deal.
We've got a great show continuing on here. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why ICW? ICW because Charlotte's Web is an amazing family-owned Colorado company founded by the Stanley Brothers. CW Hemp leads the industry in quality, safety, consistency, and social responsibility to improve lives daily through the use of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. I personally use CW for calm and focus. CW Hemp helps me perform my best every day, and that's why I CW. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code ONELIFE at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem, Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns.
Go ahead and sing, Lexi.
No.
Look at her over there. She's one.
I'm not singing out loud.
Oh, come on. It's so cathartic. Oh, my God.
No way.
In fact, I'm in a loner car right now, and I hate it because I don't have my windows aren't real dark in my other car. But and you can let it roll, Diamond. I love the song. Anyway, so I'm like belting it out in my car, you know. And this guy, I could feel somebody looking at him. I looked over and he like blew me a kiss. I was like, oh my God. It was so funny. Oh my gosh.
In your world.
Oh my gosh. But listen to that. Listen to that.
That's good stuff.
If you lose your one and only.
This is so out of my element.
It is. You know, I didn't
country music and me just don't go together. Yeah, so.
Really? Now, see, I'm such a rock girl, too, but okay. I love country.
Okay.
I love both.
I am learning to appreciate it in the last few years, but I would have to say, I mean, growing up, I never listened to country.
Oh, I used to think country was the most god-awful stuff.
Uh-huh. Hee-haw was then, about as country as I got.
Yeah, right. and then I think George Strait was one of the first guys that I heard.
Okay.
When I was living in New York, luck would have it. And so, yeah, George Strait in New York. Gotcha. And so, anyway, but that song, The Chair, mm-hmm. I just thought it was the cutest song. I just thought it was so clever.
I believe you. The country was not my thing growing up, but, you know.
Do you like it now?
Well, see, I started watching that show, The Voice, and started watching Blake Shelton. And I was like, okay, there's some good storytelling in here.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
There's a few. Well, you know, there's not a lot of black folks in country.
Yeah.
But Hootie and the Blowfish, I think he started doing some country stuff. And I was like, okay. And then I started getting in the country a little bit back then. But now
Willie Nelson.
Well, he's classic. That's classic.
That's
classic, you know. So I think he transcends, you know, genres of music to me. So,
right.
So
hooray for country
there
music.
There we go. Country music. It's great music, though. You know,
and we're here in Texas.
Yes.
Dallas, Texas is where the show is coming to you from.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
You know, hooray for Texas, too.
We got people with boots in the studio.
We do. We have. In fact, Kip's got boot envy. I have these pair of boots that what kind are they? I don't even remember. They're
Old Gringo.
Old Gringo, and I bought them several years ago, and they actually zip on both sides, and they're all embroidered. I'll have to wear them the next time you're on the show to show them to you, but super cute.
I don't know. If you show up in those, you might not be leaving.
Oh my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. Our bantering. You know, I love doing the show with you guys. I really do. This is one of my favorite days, especially Vaughn and Kip and I just have a good vibe going on, the three of us. And we've got Diamond Gray and Lexi and Aviana in studio. For those of you just now joining us, before the break, we were talking about building trust within couples, relationships. Okay, so we talked about why trust is so important. We talked about what is the difference between trust and a healthy relationship versus an unhealthy couple relationship. We talked about how does someone evaluate a person's trustworthiness. I'm going to ask you this question. So what can people do to rebuild trust within a relationship that the trust has been just, it's gone?
So let me go back to one thing that I missed a little bit earlier. And so some people have a general overall view of being mistrust. Well, they don't trust people, and this stems from childhood. Because if you grow up in an environment where there's a lot of trauma or there's people where you can't trust and feel safe and secure, then a lot of times you'll just have a general overall feel that people cannot be trusted.
Mm.
And so let's say if you have trauma in your background. Actually, you know, Erik Erikson, he's one of the most famous, psychologist out there from back in the day, and he developed a lot of stages within the human lifespan. One of the first stages is trust and mistrust. I mean, even babies, you can tell that, you know, when a baby has attachment difficulties, or like when they have a trouble attaching to their parent, a lot of times it deals with, can I trust my mom? If I'm crying, is my mom going to come and comfort me and then soothe me and then help me self-soothe? And so this starts at a very early age. So some people that grew up in certain environments where they feel like they can't trust somebody, a lot of times that may, you know, go into adulthood as well. So, but to get to your question about how can we rebuild trust, again, it does take a lot of time and to build trust, and you have to be loyal, and you have to have also an optimization of like power, a balance of power. We talked about healthy relationships a little bit earlier, and whenever there's healthy relationships, trust is something that sometimes is indefinable. Like they really can't define it, because over time it's something that nurtures the relationship, and then they build this moral responsibility within mm-hmm. the relationship.
Well, you touched on a word, of course. I'm half Italian. I was raised by an Italian father, and loyalty is everything.
Loyalty.
So many people don't even understand what loyalty means. Mm. Loyalty is even bigger than trust, and you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, I agree with you. And so loyalty is something that, you know, I have your back. No matter what, I'm going to be here with you.
Right. and I'm not gonna repeat what you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna hold it in. I'm not gonna. You know the old expression: loose lips sink ships.
Have you
ever heard that one, Diamond? No.
She's a little bit young.
Well, I don't even know originally where I heard that. Probably my dad. But loyalty is everything, and so many people don't even understand it. They don't practice it. You know, a person leaves a room and they say something about them, mm-hmm. and it's just a crappy way for people to behave, and it's a character flaw.
I agree with you. So you have to be loyal in order to build trust, but you have to have a few other things as well. So you have to have this emotional attunement with your partner. And so you've heard me talk about this before, meta emotions. So those are your feelings about feelings. So you're taught what to feel about certain things. So you may get angry about something. I may not get angry about the same thing because my family, we didn't get angry, or you deal with anger or don't talk about it in your family. Like, people deal with emotions differently and they're taught to deal with emotions differently. And so with your partner, you have to learn how to attune to one another, to where, you know, where we're getting upset or angry, we feel happiness at the same time, we have shared symbols, we feel the same about a lot of the same issues. And that's really important in order to build trust in your relationship. So a couple other things is that you need to have a tolerance for the emotional experience, because a lot of times whenever I have a couple that comes to my office, typically men tend to do this, is what's called being emotionally dismissive. They don't value feelings very much. So you have to have a tolerance, because it's okay for you to feel how you feel. If you get angry or you get sad or you feel hurt or you feel betrayed, it's okay for you to have that feeling. So you have to have an emotional tolerance. You have to have an understanding of emotion, and you have to have empathy towards emotion.
Well, you say understanding, so why are men so dismissive? Explain it to us, if you would.
Well, we're getting into some masculinity stuff, but we're socialized into being a little bit emotionally dismissive because, you know, one, we don't have the language to articulate everything because we don't talk like women do. And so,
what do you mean?
So, well, men say about 15,000 words a day. Women say about 30,000 words.
It's brain code, in my opinion.
You're
not
doubling
gender,
us up. It is a little bit brain. Now, I'm a talkative man, but, and so these are just general stats, but women talk a lot more, and so you guys, and it's okay for you to express all your feelings. Guys, you know, it's okay for us to express aggression and anger, but not so much saying, oh, I feel hurt, you know, like, mm-hmm. that's not something that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, society kind of gears us towards being emotionally dismissive. So whenever you come to us with feelings, we're like, what are those? You're not being logical, and how can I fix this,
mm-hmm.
to get back to like being happy? Let's problem solve. Let's get back to, you know, to where smooth, as opposed to actually dealing with the feeling. Instead, a lot of times we need to learn how to drop anchor, learn to validate your feelings, and mm-hmm. then empathize with you as well.
Well, I wonder, while you were speaking, I had this thought, and maybe it's a stupid thought, but maybe women talk more than men because men don't talk enough, and they talk to try to get you to talk as a communicative thing. Do you mean, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever sat there and talked with someone and they're very quiet and you're trying to pull them in kind of and get them to open up,
mm-hmm.
and you end up talking more than you wanted to because they won't say anything? Is that what's going on?
Sometimes it happens. Definitely if you have a really extroverted person and someone who's really introverted,
mm-hmm.
you may be overwhelming them.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, someone who is less intuitive, they take in information differently. Sometimes, especially if they're introverted, they don't just freely express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, in my household growing up, I grew up with a dad probably much more like you. Right. And he was the nurturer, the one that talked to us and, you know, helped us through things. And my mom, like, she's very shut down emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't there. But I know, yes, I know their brain codes. And that's why I say, and my dad taught me this too.
Mm-hmm.
There are some general truth to gender differences, but it really comes down to how you're cerebrally or mentally wired.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough, I guess, science or research out there that it's not just gender.
Yeah. Okay, so any other advice before we move on to the price of silence? Speaking of what?
Yeah. So, trust.
You learn to build trust in your relationship. Again, you need to take the time. You need to intentionally build positive interactions. And it's important that you learn to trust your partner in a lot of different areas. And trust doesn't come in many different forms. So attune emotionally. Learn to validate these other feelings. Learn to heal, rebuild, and repair regrettable incidents in the past. And sometimes you need a counselor to help you walk through some of those things, mm-hmm. too. So
That's very good.
Difficult.
That's a great point. And I think, too, it helps when we understand that there really is not one of us that is trustworthy. I'm not trustworthy, you're not trustworthy. We're fallen people.
Yeah,
we're
not
apt
completely.
To make
right.
to mistakes,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have to understand that going into any friendship, relationship, colleague, parent, child, that I'm going to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But then what comes important is kind of what he was just talking about.
How do you handle it?
Can you work through it? Are
yeah.
you willing to work through it with me?
Well, so, I agree.
And that will restore and keep the trust if you're willing to do that.
A lot of times when I work with my parents and we're talking about like whenever they met and whenever they're parenting their children, they say it's not as important what you did, but what you did after what you've done. And so if that makes sense. So,
no,
yeah.
that does make sense. Yeah. We can mm-hmm. elaborate on that as well. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Ain't got a clue what went down. So I started calling.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Guess what? Charlotte's Web has done it again with their new hemp-infused nourishing body cream and balm. Their thoughtful formulation features beneficial botanicals to help support skin health and beautification. With vitamin B5, aloe, coconut oil, arnica, and shea butter to calm dry, itchy skin and support skin revitalization. And of course, all of the ingredients are sustainably grown, non-GMO, preservative-free, gluten-free, cruelty-free, and packaged in BPA-free containers. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth for PETA. While violence in the movies is make-believe, sadly, violence against animals is all too real. Countless animals are tortured and abused every day, and most of the time, these crimes go unreported. If you know of someone who is abusing an animal, please tell the police or tell an adult. People who get away with hurting animals often turn their violence against people, and that's a cycle we need to break. So let's leave the violence where it belongs, on the screen.
So yeah, I'm used to you switching it up a little bit, but this is, I'm getting used
Davin,
to it.
Davin, we need some me too.
I'm feeling it.
So
you should have seen me last night. I had a blast with myself. And I was
ain't feeling it.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking to myself, you know you've had a good time dancing when you're alone and your hair's a mess. I'm serious.
Okay. I can visualize that with you, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. You know, I want to tell you that you can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can go to our website at oneliferadio.com to subscribe to our newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A shout out to our sponsors, a big shout out, because they bring this programming to you, like Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract that contains contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. It's great for calm, focus, and athletic-induced inflammation. Squatty Potty, because proper elimination is so important, you guys. Come on. If you don't have one, get one. I'm telling you, I'll give you your money back if you don't like it. Oh, yeah. That's how strong of a guarantee I can give.
It was mine this morning.
Me too. And I had my Sun Warrior, which was next, okay, right here. And I'm actually giving this to Kit because she's not tried
I'm
the
excited.
Chocolate. And I need some mocha. So it's their Sun Warrior blend, plant-based protein with all essential amino acids. It's organic. It's no sugar. It's dairy-free. It's soy-free. It's gluten-free. It tastes great. And you know how I made mine this morning? I've never done this. So the coconut cream that I used in the Wheat Belly cookies that was still in my refrigerator, I put a couple of scoops of that in it. And oh my gosh, it made it like super creamy. And of course, I got all the MCT oils that are so good for my brain, in addition to all the raw vegan protein. And so, yeah, it was really yummy. So I'm gifting this to you, the Warrior Blend chocolate.
Thank you, Dolly.
It's really, really good.
I'll forgive you for the country music.
Well, you know, that whatever song that was, I don't know if you heard it, Diamond. Aviana said that that's her favorite song. So whatever it was. Anyway.
Write This Down by George Strait.
What is it? Okay.
So people are going to need to write down what we're about to talk about,
Write this down, too, because this is a heavy subject, I have to say,
in
light of everything that's happened. In fact, Larry, is that his name?
Larry Nassar.
Larry Nassar is now going to have to listen to 65 more of these little girls that he violated. Yay, Larry, you're going to have to take it since you dished it out.
Right.
And then some. So I'm going to, I'm sorry, I moved something, screwed myself up. Okay, so. Let's talk about this. Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and sports psychology professional with two master's degrees and nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach, former professional athlete, and she also used to be a gymnast. I thought of you when I heard about all this, and I wondered to myself, I'm just going to say it, God forbid, did anything like this ever happen to Kip?
Not as a gymnast, but in my college life, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
do. I have a Me Too story, but yes, as a former gymnast, as a my first job was coaching gymnastics. As a therapist and sports psychologist now, it's kind of like I feel like I'm watching my girls. I'm watching my sport, even though I've not. It, at least with the ones I know, I've checked with the ones I do work with. Thank God none of them have been in that situation.
Well, this is such a big subject, and we went a little long on some of the other segments, so we're going to have to turn this into two.
We may,
We
definitely
should.
There's a lot I want to cover.
Because there's a lot to cover here, and you know, I have several Me Too stories, unfortunately, myself, starting as young as when I was 16 years old. A 45-year-old man tried to rape me outside of a high school party. Yeah. And people that listen regularly have heard the story before. But I was silenced, which is what we're talking about today. I was told that I couldn't talk about it and I was to never repeat it. I was scared to death to tell my father or my mother because my father, being Italian, probably would have gone and whacked him. I'm not kidding you. He really probably would have killed him with his own bare hands. And so these kinds of things invoke so much emotion and so much trauma and so much hurt. And the price of silence is what we're talking today about, identifying toxic coaching and how to keep kids safe. Kip, parents may be wondering, you know, if their child is safe when they drop them off at the gym, the pool, the court, the field, wherever
it is. I think
they
are now.
Of course they are.
Right?
I've always been that weirdo parent because of what happened to me when I was 16. Thank God it didn't happen.
I mean, that too, right? When we've had those stories, it makes us a little more protective.
Yeah.
Right? And we want to make sure our kids are safe.
Yeah.
And I think after Jerry Sandusky a few years ago, too, that's when we really kind of like, okay, we got to pay attention to that.
Well, and this men are victim to this, too. I just found out my brother that's schizophrenic, okay, one of the reasons I think he's so mentally ill is because he was an altar boy and he finally admitted to someone else in the family that he was repeatedly molested by the priest at the Catholic Church in the town that we lived in. And so you know as a shrink, and you know this too, Vaughn, that kind of trauma can induce mental illness if not treated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
For sure it does. It leads to, sexual intimacy, sexual violation and betrayal, it, short of death, is about the most traumatic thing you can experience because it's, you know, God, from my perspective, it's God's design of oneness between two people, and it should be sacred and special and maintained in that sacredness. And we have obliterated that in this culture.
Well,
so
it's a
when
violation.
You do that
it's a violation.
To a child, right? To a child, you write a different identity on them,
right.
And it's
going
to take a lot of therapy to heal, but there will be a scar there.
Okay, this is what I was trying to say. It is a violation to the very core of the soul,
yes,
of that human being.
Nicely said. Mm. It is a violation to the core of who you are, because it's supposed to be sacred and special.
Well, so, you know, what could possibly be the problem with, and we're going to switch gears here a little bit. What could, because people say, well, I'm going to watch my kids more closer. I'm not going to leave them alone with anyone that could potentially harm them. I know I kind of was that kind of parent in that respect because of what had happened to me. But what could possibly be the problem with a parent watching a practice?
Well, it's a good and fair question, and I think it's one, you know, it's never too early to teach our kids about boundaries and about consent. So if you're entering, if you're, you know, looking for a competitive gym, and it's not just gymnastics, swimming, tennis, any sport, baseball, football even, right? There needs to be the allowance that you as a parent can watch practice.
Right.
Well, and more in our culture, and I've seen this definitely in the gymnastics culture, parents have been prohibited from watching their child in that competitive practice environment. There are good reasons. And some of those defensible reasons are when the parent tries to start coaching the kid, and that's supposed to be done between child and the coach. But the child ends up, if you're trying to coach your kid from the gym balcony or from the waiting room, that's a problem. And I, as a coach, can't have you coaching your kid while I'm trying to coach your kid.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in basketball all the time. I see it all the time. Parents are trying to coach their kid, right? Well, you've put them on this team. Let the coaches do their job. And
well,
if you're prohibiting the coach from doing their job, that's when it becomes a problem.
Well, I'm going to ask both of you, how do you know who you can trust? We were talking about trust earlier. I mean, the world has become so over-sexualized that I feel like I don't trust to put my little girl in harm's way of anyone that I don't. You never really know. It's like,
you don't know.
It's
but,
so scary.
But if you're, I mean, that's one red flag. If you're prohibited from watching practice, then I would find a different team, right? Find
yeah.
a different gym. Find a different pool. I think when you go to, you need to do your due diligence, right? You go, you have a meeting, schedule a meeting with the coaches. And I have told all my parents of select and competitive athletes,
mm-hmm.
at least twice a year, you should be able to sit down face to face with your athlete, with your child, and the coach, and have like a review of how things are going.
Right. Well, you know, I saw a little boy. This has really got, I mean, it's got something to do with what we're talking about. Of course, it's relevant. But just yesterday, I saw this little boy walking down the street with a gallon of milk. Okay. And he had come from the little corner store, and I'm sure he lived just a couple blocks away. But I thought to myself, oh my gosh. And I actually slowed down and acted like I was doing something, put my flashers on to make sure that he got to his house safely. Because I was thinking, oh my God, our world is so crazy. I don't know if I, as a parent, would let my child even walk two blocks. What if some creepster was driving by and saw that as an opportunity to harm that child?
Well,
I just, where do you draw the line? Where do you find the balance?
I think it's a delicate balance. And this is what we as parents have to educate our kids about, kind of what to look for. But you're going to have to deal with some fear. You're going to have to deal with some anxiety about those things. And you have to make it age appropriate, too.
So let me give a plug right quick, because I've done a couple of presentations on predators. And so there's a book that I get a lot of my information from. It's called Predators, Pedophiles, Rapists, and Other Sex Offenders, How
nice.
They Operate, How They Can, you know, how we can protect ourselves and our children. And it talks about how to educate yourselves about those. And it's a little bit scary, some of the stuff is. But again,
it gives parents
and it gives educators ways that you can protect your children from those types of predators.
Who's the author?
Is Anna Salter, I believe. And she's interviewed like thousands of people in prison who've been like rapists and pedophiles and everything.
So I'm going to get
Anna Salter, PhD. I think she's from Harvard. So.
It's so important. Yeah. Okay, so Kip.
Well, obviously, we got to continue the conversation, and this is actually a 5-week course that I'm about to put online in on my academy as well.
All right. So at Kip Fit on Twitter.
Well, it'll be on the Neurosport Performance Academy.
All right. You know what? We're going to talk about it. Everyone, thank you for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.